Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are back with Season 3, Episode 27. The New York Rangers are sitting second in the Metro over the Washington Capitals with the same amount of games played, and things are looking okay as Pittsburgh and Boston keep creeping up the standings, and they just win every single game that they play and just causing unneeded stress in my life as a New York Rangers fan. So I gotta ask, Andy, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. It's been a really cold week here in New York. So I'm thankful that my toes haven't fallen off yet. And like you said, with the games being so late, I've been lucky to watch the first period of some of them and only to catch the replay the next day, depending on how favorable the score was. And yeah, the Rangers continue to be a bit of a seesaw. You know, they drop one, they win the next one, they drop the next one, they win the next one. So hopefully that should mean they're due for a win against the Sharks, but The Sharks are tough out, man. They're a tough team right now. Luckily, they, like you said, they banked all those points early, so they're sitting pretty in the second spot in the division. But Pittsburgh coming in real hot and real fast and with games in hand. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the Rangers slip down a little bit. But hey, you know, they banked all those points early, and now that they're going through some hardship with guys in and out of COVID protocol and just not being able to, some roster experimentation with the taxi squad and guys from Hartford. I think they at least put themselves in a good position to weather a little adversity in a storm. And so even if for the next little while they're hurt, they play around 500 hockey, you're not worrying too much. You know, you see they could obviously slip in the standings, but you just, as long as they're in a playoff spot, that's all I really care about. I don't care if they win the division or if they sneak in the last wild card spot. I just would like them to make the playoffs. So
yeah, you and I spoke about this a little bit earlier today. Looking at the New York Rangers, the only spot I personally wouldn't want is the second wild card. I just think drawing Carolina in the first round would just be really, really tough. Like we said last podcast, Carolina is one of the most balanced, you know, well put together teams in the National Hockey League. And excuse me, given the New York Rangers history against them, recent history against them in the bubble, where they just like embarrassed us, where we didn't even look like we belonged in the NHL. I just really worry about, you know, that. I don't know, like it's probably irrational. Obviously completely different team. Even Carolina's team is different. You know, Tony D'Angelo's on the other side of the ice. Like it's one of those things where that scarred me. I mean, that series really scarred me. It put a sour taste in my mouth that I don't think the Rangers could ever beat Carolina in the playoffs. And that's complete overreaction and complete emotional meltdown on my part. But there's no way that you could go into a series right now playing the Carolina Hurricanes and feel good at the chances that the New York Rangers have of beating them, especially in seven games. I mean, not only do I think the Rangers would lose that series, but they could lose that series in three games. I think the Rangers might not even show up for the fourth game. That's how nervous I am, and that's how big of an impact that last bubble series had on me personally, Andy. So I know it's an overreaction, but you know, like you mentioned before, you know, if we the 2-3 and we had to play Washington, I'm fine with that. I'd be a little scared of Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh is one of the more dangerous teams and just a sleeping giant in this league. So there's so many scenarios, and you obviously can't pick your poison because you'll regret it in the end. But, you know, looking at the playoff picture is looking, I mean, I would imagine the teams are set, but the spots are pretty much up for grabs.
With just the way things seem like they'll shake out here, it seems like they will play either one of the Canes or will Florida end up in that first place in the Atlantic? Potentially, but obviously the Maple Leafs are having a real strong season too, so I also would not be surprised to see them in that spot. And just with the way things are going, I just don't think the Rangers are going to finish two or three. So, yeah, I too am still kind of scarred from that series, because if you remember, the Rangers pretty much owned Carolina in the regular season, and then just obviously when it came time to play a playoff brand of hockey, the Rangers wilted and Carolina did not. And I think that's also compounded by the fact that we haven't faced Carolina yet this season, so you don't really know how they match up yet or how they look. And yeah, it's weird. It's where the Rangers came on very strong early in the season, hence why they banked all those points. I feel like other teams are finally like settling into their push and finding their footing, whereas the Rangers are faltering a little bit and stumbling. I would definitely probably rather have it this way, considering the youth on this team and just kind of asserting themselves early and then maybe struggling right now. But regardless, I just want the Rangers to make the playoffs. I don't necessarily need them to win a round. If they do, that would be awesome. But yeah, I just don't want it to be demoralizing. You just want to at least have it be somewhat competitive, or them have a puncher's chance. You know what I mean? But just like you said, right now, the Canes might be one of the most balanced teams in the league. So, I guess we'll see. I don't know. I think right now we're kind of putting the cart before the horse. And luckily I think Rangers, repeatedly say they're putting it one game, just the game that's in front of them, one game at a time. And I think that's kind of, speaking to a little bit to their up and down record right now. And because one game they look pretty woeful, and the next they look like they really executing the things they talked about, and then they feel good about themselves, and then they forget to execute and make some mistakes, and then I don't know. We have to get through this little bit of this rough patch we're going through right now if we want to be in this conversation, because it is not outside the realm of the possibility. If the Rangers have a poor stretch going into the home stretch, who knows? Anything can happen in this league. So,
yeah, well, I guess it's a good thing that 5-4-1 in the last 10, we call that a rough stretch. It's just been, really tough with COVID and some of our non-COVID injuries. And it's been nice, though, to see some of the younger talent get a little bit of playing time. I know now there's hype that Schneider might be in the lineup. So, you're kind of hoping that, he gets in and he gets some playing time and just kind of see what he has. And, I don't know about you, Andy, and I don't know how the players feel, but it's getting to the time where the rumors will start to float around about who's going to be, buyers and who's going to be sellers at the deadline. There's a lot of teams, more so in the West, I feel like, that the two wild cards are kind of up for grabs. But I have a couple questions about the teams out of the East, mainly because I feel like Detroit is just doesn't have the gas to go all the way. 37 points in 37 games, they're just kind of too far behind. And I think Boston and Pittsburgh is too good, and the Rangers have too many points banked over Detroit to really falter to that point where Detroit would then leapfrog the Rangers in a wild card spot. But what I wanted to ask you, Andy, I look at teams like Pittsburgh and Boston. And, even Washington, let's just say they falter too, right? They've been very good for a very long time. And, Pittsburgh has gotten their cups. Washington has their Stanley Cup. And I know those teams, feel like they have a chance in this battle. And of course they do. But do you see them being buyers and sellers, or are these teams really not in a position to be making a big buy? Like, I feel like who can these teams like bring in? Are they in cap hell? Do you know anything about that? Because I don't know. I feel like if we are buyers at the deadline, we're definitely better than those teams.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I would say that based on how a team like Pittsburgh has performed, they just got Malkin back, which I think, based on the fact that they have a non-existent farm system, I think for them that is their acquisition, that they've put themselves in a good spot, and now they get Evgeny Malkin back. So I don't think if you see them add anyone, I don't think it's going to come at the cost of like a an expensive, like a Tomáš Hertl, and dropping a first round pick. You know, I'm not really too familiar with right now Washington's cap situation. I would imagine they are tight, but I could be wrong. You know, I do wonder, you know, the Bruins have signed Tuukka back for like $1 million, which obviously helped them. And they're a team that might look to upgrade in some positions, but again, I'm not really sure. I think the Atlantic are the teams that will most likely try to make some things happen. But like you said, I mean, Detroit is technically rebuilding. I don't think they would be stupid enough to trade in away any assets right now. I think they see the trajectory they're on. The fact that they're in striking distance is just a testament to, you know, that their rebuild is kind of humming along. And yeah, you have to imagine the Flyers understand the writing's on the wall here now. But I guess the one team I do look at is the Islanders. I mean, as long as Lou Lamoriello was in charge, I could see them throwing out assets, right, to try to make a push. They've only played 28 games. It's a Hail Mary type situation for them. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
At this point, the Islanders just got to be happy with completing a full season.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, they should be happy because they're not happy, but so they're in 13th place with 26 points above. Their tie with Buffalo is 26 points. The only difference is the Islanders have played 28 games and Buffalo has played 35. So, and somehow Buffalo is ahead of the Senators, who've only played 29 games, in fairness. So they'll probably pull ahead of them, and the Canadians, who have played 34 games and have 18 points. Man, oh man, are the Canadians bad this year. But, you know, I guess they get a shot at Shane Wright or, you know, Brad Lambert or one of those characters. But yeah, I mean, as for, I could see, you know, Carolina has been pretty shrewd the last few seasons. I do wonder if they'll add. But again, they're so balanced. It's just like, what are you really need more of there? You know? So, and I know their owner is a notorious cheapskate. So I don't know. Maybe they just stand pat. I think the West is a little bit more wide open. You'll probably see a lot more buyers out coming from out West. I mean, I would imagine that Edmonton clearly is probably going to sign Evander Kane here today. So they're desperately trying to make the playoffs. They're only, I think, 2 points out right now, and they actually have games in hand on the Sharks in that last wildcard spot. But yeah, like right now, LA's in third in the Pacific. So, I mean, they're a team that'll probably try to add, considering their youth, and they have some stuff to play with. The Ducks. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's so early in the Ducks rebuild. I don't know if they have the stomach to trade assets, considering where they are. You know, if anything, I still think they end up moving a guy like Hampus Lindholm. But whether that comes now or comes in the offseason, I don't know. But yeah, I think Vegas has no cap. They're getting Eichel. They're going to have to trade some players away just to make the salary work, apparently. So, but yeah, then that leaves, obviously, the Preds, who, surprisingly, you know, are at the top of the Central, which is pretty wild to me. But, you know, they've been playing good hockey recently, and I think a lot of people had them written out like they were finally going to peter out, and they've really come together, and Yossi's having an excellent season. And yeah, they won an OT against the Avs the other night. It was pretty impressive. So yeah, they're a good team. So the Avs, the Blues, and the Preds, I could all see them trying to bolster their rosters. So yeah, I think it's easier to predict more buying going on in the Western Conference. But yeah, again, you say that, and then some GM decides, you know what, I'm going for it, I'm going rogue. Or some GM says, you know what, we've done enough, we're going to kind of stand pat. And even though they're adding Evander Kane, I am now seeing that there was a quote from Ken Holland saying that, like, for the most part, he thinks the answer's in the room, and he's probably not going to trade away a first-round pick. So, but we'll see. I mean, you know, guys like Kessel will be floating around. You have to wonder what happens with Claude Giroux. I don't know if the Sharks' current standing trade, you know, that makes it difficult for them to want to trade a Tomáš Hertl, at least in season. So it's hard to tell. But, you know, there's plenty of other teams, like, you know, I don't know what Pavelski wants to do in Dallas, or yeah, or some of the other players on you know, Seattle picked up a bunch of guys, you would imagine, with the express purchase purpose of flipping. So who knows if Giordano goes somewhere. We know Chychrun's being shopped. So yeah, lots of teams that seem to be willing to sell. Whereas I feel like honestly, the teams outside of maybe in the East, outside that aren't in the picture, probably the Canadians will probably sell. Ottawa maybe will let a Connor Brown walk or you know flip him, but the Flyers and the Canadians are the only ones who I think are really like, you know, we need to start selling here because we have to retool our team.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's so weird. Just I feel like this year more than ever, and I maybe it's just because we had the two kind of pandemic weird seasons, and here we are in the first full 82 game season that we've had in a while. It just feels like there's a new chapter in the NHL right now, and it's getting interesting to see some of these teams that you like. We both have kind of written off. You know, the Panthers are, you know, one of the better teams in the NHL. Carolina Hurricanes are now, you know, like a Stanley Cup favorite. You have, you know, the West is just a crapshoot now, you know, with Nashville stepping up. You know, Vegas is a contender after making it to the Stanley Cup final and then kind of petering out a little bit. The Ducks are involved. LA's involved. Minnesota's involved. You know, San Jose kind of making a resurgence here, you know, in the middle of this season. Edmonton's kind of on its way out. Calgary, you know, is still, you know, kind of fighting, lingering on. It's just a weird season with how it is right now. And, you know, you kind of look at, you know, I wanted to bring this up when you mentioned Edmonton, but you take Edmonton, for instance, right? For me, if I'm Connor McDavid, and I know it's obviously different if you're signed to this team, you're part of this organization, you're the face of the franchise, you've grown an attachment to the community. I just feel like if I'm Connor McDavid, it's over after this year. Like, I'm done. Like, we've done nothing since I've gotten here. You've given me nothing. We have one line, and everything's just been a shit show ever since. I got to ask you, Andy, if you're Connor McDavid, you got to be thinking, how the hell do I get out of here?
Yeah, I mean, if they don't make the playoffs this year, and we said this last year and it didn't happen, but again, they made, you know, they bring in Ken Holland and he makes all these promises like, no, we're going for it. We're going to find it and we'll figure it out. And then they make a bunch of dumb acquisitions like Duncan Keith and, you know, I don't know. They bring in Hyman, which is good, but they don't do nothing to since Connor has been there, they have never done anything to bring in an actual, they keep rolling with Mike Smith for God knows who's now, you know, why. You know, they brought in Cam Talbot, getting him from the Rangers at a sweetheart of a deal, no less, and it just didn't work out for them. Although Talbot has at least proven to be, you know, competent backup. You know, we know now that he's probably not a starter, starting material. Although he was good early on when he got there, but then he just kind of petered out and had some, you know, troubles. But yeah, they've never gotten him. You know, they've never given him any depth to work with, him and Leon. They have never. You know, they gave Darnell Nurse, Cale Makar, and Adam Fox money. Like, I, you know, it just continues to, you know, boggle the mind. They traded away Taylor Hall for Adam Larson years ago, you know, all the many moons ago. It's just at every point they've failed to do things that, you know, when you have Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid, you don't need as much as other teams. You know what I mean? You can either stack them when you need a goal. You put them on the same power play, and your power play is always taken care of, really. And then you just try to play them on separate lines, you know, and let them, you know. And yes, they've had good players like Nuge and Hyman, but you know, they obviously, a lot of it was made of when they lost to the Rangers the other night, where how they were just pumping Ryan Strome tires, and how McDavid was so upset about it because Strome was such a fun loving guy in that room, and how good he's played here, and he was just kind of. He was basically just having the worst shooting percentage season of his career. So, you know, and Ryan Spooner came in to the Rangers on a shooting bent, you know, PDO bender. So perfect, you know, swap by Gordon while the getting was good. But yeah, it's just they at this point, you know, he's, you know, Connor's 24 years old. He just turned 24 a couple days ago, right? Or no, I'm sorry. Tomorrow's his birthday. He turns 25 tomorrow. So you know, he's gonna be 25 years old, like five years, you'd be 5 years away from turning 30, and you haven't had any deep runs in your career. Crosby had already won a cup by this time, right?
I think I think he's only won one series, and I forgot they beat the Sharks one random year. Great. I wrote an article for the Morning Skate, wrote a blog for them, and I wrote, you know, the NHL, McDavid, you know, it's a problem basically for the NHL that McDavid hasn't been successful in the postseason. Like, it's a problem for the NHL because this is a guy you want playing in the Stanley Cup final. Like, this is who you want to see. You want to see, you know, McDavid versus Ovechkin, like McDavid versus, you know, Crosby. You know, that's what the NHL needs. And the fact that he can't get there because he plays for an incompetent organization is not good for the league. You know, it's, you know, you don't want LeBron James not making it to the NBA finals. Like, he's good for the game. Love it or hate it, you want him there. And it's just, it's such a shame. And in the blog, I wrote that he never won a series. And it's because I totally forgot that he won one series. And like, I'm like, you're proving my point. He's won one series and that's what you're arguing. Like, this is the point I'm making, is that he's just forgettable. He's just good for 82 games. And then you can forget the postseason because he's irrelevant. And it's just sad, Andy.
I think one of the things is that, especially being, and they talked about this when Crosby was kind of in his prime. We know Crosby's probably going to retire with the Pittsburgh Penguins. You know what I mean? They're right. Still looking competitive to this day. His legacy there is kind of cemented. And it's, you just don't, with him being from Nova Scotia, you never felt this like, oh, he has to play for the Maple Leafs type thing that you kind of had with some other Ontario born guys, or, you know, Austin Matthews will one day play for the Arizona Coyotes. You can already book it. But I don't know, with Connor, I think it's hard being the best player in the world, because the guy trading you, if he wants to keep his job, has to get absolute value for you if you're the best player in the league. And it's such a steep price tag, because Connor, if you're trading the 25-year-old best player in the world, you have to get the equivalent of maybe, and I don't talk to me about, like, you can't use the Wayne Gretzky trade as a comparable, because a lot of that was also getting an influx of money as well, which is different now. You know, the teams that are paying for Connor with the salary cap, it's not about getting like cash up front. It's not like you're not padding your pockets by, you know, like Peter Pocklington in Edmonton. You need to get the equivalent of at least like 4 or 5 first rounders. You know what I mean? Like, if the Rangers wanted to do it, you know, Kako goes, Lafreniere goes, Zibanejad probably has a no trade clause, right? So he can't go. I don't know. Everyone who's not staple to the ground, Schneider probably would go, or potentially Keandre Miller, you know, Kraftsoff, and probably a first on top of that. So it's just like, it's like a ridiculous, the cost would be ridiculous. You know what I mean?
And I still don't
the Rangers. I would say the Ranger. What's up?
And I don't even think Edmonton wins on that. You're trading away the best player.
Best player. Exactly. And that's the problem. Yeah. Hence the problem, because it's an unwinnable trade, and anything close to a ridiculous overpayment is, you know, I mean, if I look at the teams that could maybe make it work, it's probably the Rangers, Carolina potentially, and maybe LA in terms of the number of sheer assets, or maybe the Ottawa Senators. I don't know. Although, does Edmonton want to trade McDavid to the Ottawa? So the league would try to facilitate Connor coming stateside. It would be pretty interesting to see Jack versus Connor in LA and Vegas. I will say that. But yeah, it would be very funny if, much like Gretzky, Connor got traded to the LA Kings. But yeah, man, I mean, it's just, again, it's almost like an unwinnable trade for Ken Holland. And, you know, I think when you're trading him, you basically, I don't know, you'd have to hope. I don't know what his relationship is like with ownership there, because it's kind of, I don't know, it can usually be a death knell for your career if you let it get to the point where Connor McDavid requests a trade on your watch. Like, I don't know what that says about your job security.
I mean, if he's the job security should be gone. Like, there should be no security. Given with the way Edmonton is right now, if Connor wants to leave, that should be the least shocking thing to happen in Edmonton this season. If Connor's like, you know what, I'm done. I'm 25. We're not even close in my eyes. I'm out of here.
If Vegas has a run here and Eichel plays well, even if they don't win, like even if they just go far, if they make it to like the Western Conference Final or the Stanley Cup Final and lose, I mean, what a ringing endorsement that is for Connor. That, you know what, Jack gave it his all, and the organization just never gave him the support he needed. And clearly then it came to even a head with this medical stuff, and he bet on himself and he made the hard decision, and it clearly came with a lot of pain. But now you see him and he's in Vegas and he's playing competitive hockey on a marquee stage. And I don't know how that doesn't light a fire under your ass. You know what I mean? If Eichel ends up winning a cup before McDavid, you know, like, so yeah,
the
man,
only thing
I don't
that
know.
Edmonton
again,
has going for them.
We keep saying there are.
Well, I was going to say the only thing Edmonton has going for them is that Connor McDavid's kind of like a robot. He's got a little bit of like, Mark Zuckerberg in him, where he's just kind of weird. And I feel like maybe he's just not interested in winning a Stanley Cup. Like, he's just perfectly content, perfectly happy, just going out and playing the game of hockey. Very appreciative of his opportunity to do that in Edmonton. And whatever happens, happens. That, I mean, I could see that, but.
Well, I mean, we do know he has gone to management and basically given them ultimatums about like, we need to, and you can never, here's the thing, you can never say, and that's what I love, is that now that it's all this stuff comes out that he needs to be better or he needs to change his game. Fuck you. Like, are you kidding me? He is undebatably the best player in the world. So
it's not
so
like,
what you're mad. So if Ed, all this proves is that hockey again, remains a team sport. And I just don't, all these people with these takes, whether it's John Tortorella or the Edmonton media, where it's just like, he doesn't want it enough, or, you know, he's not, you know, the power play is not going, or he needs to play better, he should be just committing himself to strictly defense when he's on the ice. But you have no one to score goals there. It's just insanity. He is the best player in the world without a doubt. And arguably one of the, maybe another guy who's could be potentially be the second best player in the world is on his team too. So, I mean, I do wonder if that means they could end up trading Draisaitl for help. Like, we get a bona fide defenseman by trading Leon, and also some like depth scoring on top of that. You know?
Yeah. I definitely think they need that. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, you have to wonder, you know, if a team like San Jose is like trying to shed salary and you were like, we'll trade you Leon Draisaitl for, and I'm sure he has a no trade clause, so you can get at me, but we'll trade Leon Draisaitl for Brent Burns or Erik Karlsson and Tomas Hertl. Or something, you know what I mean? Like, although I guess if you're trading McDavid, are you rebuilding at this point, or Draisaitl? If you're trying to keep Connor happy, like, I don't know, that's a trade you have to have like in the hopper. So when he goes into your office to say I'm leaving, you say, look, here's a trade. This will be your teammates next year. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's just such a mess. Like, it's ridiculous that they're in the position they are, and that again, and we're talking about it again, and. Yeah, I don't know. Listen, I'm not saying the Rangers are the most shrewd run organization in the league, but, you know, the fact that they were able to retool like they did as they were exiting their contention window, Edmonton should have been ascending and they just lapped them, which is ridiculous. So.
And it's just, I don't know. I look around the league, right? You look at the best players of the kind of generation that's on their way out. You look at the Crosbys, the Ovechkins. I just feel like they had an aura to them where you knew eventually that they were going to win, right? Crosby kind of left no doubt, winning multiple Stanley Cups. Ovechkin finally got his cup. And there's a player that you can actually say maybe he was a little bit more concerned about his own personal numbers rather than, you know, playing a full team game. He kind of got beat up on it, but ultimately got the job done. And, you know, now he's kind of chasing, you know, one of Wayne Gretzky's, you know, most sacred, you know, records of, you know, goals all time. It's just, it's a different feel there. You know, if you look around the league, there's, you know, if you want to look at even, God, I'm trying to think of like someone even on their way out. I mean, LA obviously had a bunch of cups, but they don't really have anybody that's like still there. You know, Quick got his Stanley Cups. He was a huge part of that team, and Kopitar and
yeah, they
like
still
that,
have Kopitar and Dustin Brown, I guess. Yeah,
right. And you know, I don't know. I just feel like the faces of the NHL, you know, were Crosby and Ovechkin for a while. You know, the next generation, you're kind of like, who's it going to be? Like, who's going to step up? You know, Tampa, again, won multiple Stanley Cups, but I feel like they're just so well balanced that there's not that guy that you're like, oh, like he's going to get a Stanley Cup. You know, they were just a really good team, great coach, great organization, you know, next man up mentality. And, you know, they were able to, you know, capture and get two Stanley Cups after a well put together team. It was just, you know, perfectly balanced and took advantage of, you know, good timing, and they were able to get two Stanley Cups, you know, and then now you look at the league right now, and I feel like the Stanley Cup is up for grabs, and there's really not, you know, you could say Tampa again, you could say Florida, you could say Carolina, but, you know, none of these teams are, you know, a lock to win it. And I just feel like Connor McDavid and Matthews are next up on the scale of you know, when are they going to get their Stanley Cup, right? The conversation is now no longer Crosby and Ovechkin. It's more about, you know, McDavid, Matthews, McKinnon, and then I guess you can even put Eichel in that conversation now that he's kind of on a bona fide Stanley Cup contending team. So again, it's just interesting. And, you know, as the years pass and the generation, you know, kind of passes the torch to the next generation, it's very interesting to see which players are going to step up, which players are going to get that Stanley Cup. And, you know, could it be a team out of nowhere like the New York Rangers, who, you know, are, you know, led by a group of guys rather than, you know, having that one face of the organization? I don't know, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible. But again, to your point, you need to show your face in the playoffs, show your stuff in the playoffs, because that's kind of where you really write your legacy. Yeah, and I do want to continue talking about the playoffs. But before we do that, I want to talk about other playoffs. The NFL playoffs are here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is kicking things off with a huge offer. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any wildcard team to win their game. Wow, okay. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team is victorious. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you still have something to play for this wildcard weekend, because everyone can play for huge cash prizes with DraftKings daily fantasy football contests. All you have to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code THPN, as in the Hockey Podcast Network, and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Again, bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. And that's with promo code THPN this wildcard weekend at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. You must be 21 or older to enter. New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. Thank you, James, for bearing with me for my DraftKings promo code read of the week. Yeah, as we're recording this, I feel like Rangers-related news is dropping every second. I mean, although at the moment things seem to be quiet. We have additions to the taxi squad. Justin Richards was recalled for the taxi squad today. I don't know if that means he'll play. I don't know why we've seen guys kind of shuffle in or out. Are they paper transactions? Are they financial transactions? I'm not really sure. But I think, obviously, I do want to talk about the biggest news for the moment is that the Rangers have sent down Nils Lundqvist to the AHL and they've recalled Braden Schneider. So I did want to get your thoughts on this move. Do you think it's the wrong move? Do you think it's the right move? How are your thoughts on how this is all playing out right now?
Yeah, you know, I kind of like it, you know, and, you know, I hope Nils doesn't take it personal as in, you know, he's just not good enough to play at this level. I just think if the Rangers are going to experiment with some of the other younger defensemen, and listen, the Rangers are also a business and they have a ton of assets and they kind of need to see what they have in each of these assets. Now, does that put pressure on the players to kind of step up and maybe, put themselves in a position where the organization doesn't see that they're a multi-year project to step in? Yeah, kind of it does a little bit, but I think everyone saw Nils for exactly what he was. I think everyone knows that the talent is there. It's just, it's tough when you're putting some of these young assets and prospects on the third pairing with, honestly, guys that probably shouldn't be playing in the NHL and Nemeth and Tenorti and Hayek, and it's tough on them. But at the same time, if you want to develop, it's better to develop playing 25 minutes a night in the AHL than it is to play 10 minutes in the NHL with a guy that kind of stinks. So for me, I look at it as that they didn't lose trust in him. It's just that they kind of want to rotate these guys in and out, see what they got out of some of them. And it's important for them to, you know, to keep playing minutes. It's not going to do him any good playing on a taxi squad or kind of riding the bench and being that seventh man waiting for an injury to happen or a COVID situation to happen. You know, those kids need to play. And, you know, I don't know how you feel, Andy, but, you know, I feel like a lot of fans these days are just so impatient that they, you know, automatically write off getting sent to the AHL as almost punishment, where realistically it's kind of a reward, right? They want to see you play. They want you to be a part of the organization. It's just that, you know, there's no purpose in you playing 10 minutes a night and struggling where you can, you know, play 25 minutes, be a leader and kind of develop your game and find your game and get comfortable again. So for me, it's a good thing. I'm not even thinking twice about it. He'll be back for sure, unless he gets traded in some big trade. And that will be an unfortunate, you know, asset that the Rangers have to let go. So, yeah, it's a good problem to have, but unfortunately, individually, it's tough on these players. So, you know, I think he'll be back though.
Yeah. You know, it's definitely interesting that they kept, Jones on the taxi squad up, but yeah, I agree that at this point, if this was always the plan, then that's great. You know, you get Nils some time early. I think Nils, I don't think he acquitted himself poorly at all here with the Rangers. I think he looked pretty much like a young green defenseman kind of learning the ropes. And there was times where he started looking like he was looking better. And then he was out with like a little injury and then he came back and it was kind of started and stopped. And it just, yeah, I think he had one poor showing, especially, and I think it was with, you know, I'm sure it was with Libor Hayek or Nemeth or something, who hasn't exactly done much to insulate him, or Tenorti for that matter. And yeah, I just think send him down to Hartford and let him do exactly what Zach Jones did and Schneider did, and just play minutes, you know, when instead of like, all right, penalty killing times here, we're leaving you on the bench, go kill penalties, play none the first power play, get your swagger up, you know, just play the game at a speed that's a little bit more manageable for you and just get better. And obviously now that Schneider's here, I cannot wait to see him in action. I don't know what help it does to staple him next to Patrick Nemeth, right? Or even worse, like a Tenorti. But yeah, you have to wonder at some point, will we see Jones and Schneider on a pairing together, especially if Schneider looks, we know Jones is comfortable playing either side. So if Schneider looks comfortable on, you know, on the right, does that mean they're going to put, Zach Jones on the left? I'm not sure. But again, I hope we see that. That's kind of fan casting. But yeah, we'll see. Schneider obviously is a little bit more physically suited for the NHL, but he's still young and he's still very green. So yeah, who knows how he'll seem, you know, from the preseason games early on, he looked pretty solid, you know, nothing world beating, but he just looked kind of steady Eddie and with occasional heavy hit, you know? So, and I mean, the good thing is having that presence that, like, much like Trouba, you have to keep your head up when he's out there. Having that on two pairings, especially if you're getting hit more frequently from more physical defensemen, it kind of makes you think twice. So who knows? That's his biggest, one of his biggest assets. So hopefully we get to see it here at the NHL level. We already know he's a very good skater for his size and yeah, that he's got a little bit of a physical edge. So I'm excited to see how he acquits himself. But again, I hope, you know, if you put him, you stick him with Nemeth or Tenorti, I'm not expecting him to look all that great. But who knows? Maybe he looks, for whatever reason, he looks comfortable and steady with them and it works out. So, but we'll see.
Well, I got two questions for you, Andy.
Go ahead.
All right. So part one of this question is, you know, obviously we spoke about the Rangers possibly definitely will end up probably making a move at the trade deadline. With Schneider getting called up and obviously Jones is playing a little bit here and there, and Nils started the season, goes to the AHL. Do you think that one of those three players will be traded and management is kind of getting a glimpse at all three players and they have to make a decision of who they feel most comfortable letting go in a trade?
I think one of Jones or Lundqvist is getting traded. I don't think Schneider's getting traded. Schneider is a 6 foot plus defenseman who skates well from Saskatoon, who likes to throw hits. So when they can't see anything, the amount of Lubriderm that's like floating around the GM's office when they think about Braden Schneider's future. But I just think in terms of maybe a slightly smaller puck moving defenseman, I think they think there's a redundancy there having both Jones and Lundqvist. And not, and listen, Lundqvist will probably end up playing at 6 foot, potentially 6'1", probably 180 in the NHL, 185. And he's shown that he's, for his age, he can actually be pretty strong and solid. But again, I think, yeah, I just think that the Rangers have always had this dream of having a core of big yet still mobile and D, you know, so and Schneider definitely fits that to a T. So yeah, I think it's one of Jones or Lundqvist is you know, will most likely get moved, especially for help down the middle. I mean, you know, everyone's been saying forever now that the Rangers and LA are great trading partners because the Kings need defensive prospects, but they have a glut of center prospects, and the Rangers need center prospects, but they have a glut of defensive prospects. So, you know, who knows if, you know, if I don't know how willing they are to let one of, you know, Turcotte, you know, come back the other way, or a player of that ilk, but who knows, you know?
So my second question is, obviously the Rangers brought in Nemeth and Tenorti. You know, Tenorti was kind of part of the whole package of the Rangers need to get tougher to play against. He's a fighter. He'll, you know, it'll be tough to play against, you know, when he gets a chance to be in the lineup. But, you know, and then they have Nemeth, who I think they thought would take the role of like a Brendan Smith and kind of be a mentor to whoever they had as that sixth defenseman, whatever prospect, whether that be Nils or Jones, and which is, you know, fair. But I kind of feel like the experiment is getting a little ridiculous. I think, you know, management probably didn't think they'd be where they are right now, where there kind of is a little bit of pressure to win and win on a consistent basis, where, you know, I think fans and, you know, they got to be a little frustrated too. But do you think their management might be a little too prideful, and even the coaching staff too might be a little too prideful to kind of let a combination of either Jones Nils or Jones Schneider to kind of take over as that bottom pairing defenseman, knowing that our other options really have not been very good of late? And you know, you kind of look at, you know, the game that Hájek had the other night where he was just didn't look like he belonged out there. Nemeth has been more of a problem as of lately, as he, you know, was a little bit more of a steady Eddie in the beginning of the year. Do you think they're too prideful to take those out and kind of just let it be a bunch of kids in that, you know, in that final two spots? Or, you know, do you think they'll kind of ride out the season at least, you know, either with Nemeth or Tenardi?
It's hard to say. I mean, Jared Tenorti with his seventh defenseman with the Bruins, his acquisition and his playing time, I don't understand at all. Nemeth, I understand, because he's been good on the PK at times, and there's times he has looked fine. But I don't know how many goals now that I've seen him behind the net for some reason, doing God knows who's, you know, knows what. So, you know, I don't, you know, maybe it is pride, maybe it is, you know, well, you just, you know, all the fans on Twitter don't understand what, you know, real defensemen need to do. It might be some of that. Yeah, I don't know. I could definitely see Nemeth being a staple, and they're just kind of trying to audition who is going to be in that spot next to him, you know? But we'll see. In fairness, I will say this. It's been a long season, and credit to Gerard Gallant and Chris Drury or whoever's making these decisions, there are times where we have seen them get sat for favor for, you know, a Jones Lundqvist pairing or a Hayek Lundqvist pairing or Jones, you know, Hayek. So it's not weak, you know, and obviously there's been injuries at times, but there's also been not. There's just been experimentation. So, you know, so credit to them for being willing to experiment. You know, I mean, obviously if Braden Schneider can come into the Rangers now and just solidify at least that side on the bottom pairing, then it becomes much easier, because right now that whole pairing is up for grabs. And if you can just have, you know, solid play from one side of that pairing, you know what I mean? Or decisively solid play, I think it solves a lot of problems. Then they're only
When you say it that way, I think Schneider would have an easier time locking down that spot, because his game is more of, you know, it's less about moving the puck and creating offensive chances, where I kind of feel like Jones and Nils, everyone is comparing them to Fox, and you know that you want to see them shooting the puck, you want to see them creating offensive chances, making, you know, better outlet passes than some of the defensemen that we, you know, we've had in the past, whether that be, you know, Mark Stahls and Girardis and stuff like that. We want, you know, this new age where, you know, Fox can rush the puck or make an unbelievable outlet pass with perfect timing of a guy, you know, busting down the wing. So it's just harder for them.
No, you're absolutely right. And listen, I mean, unfortunately, at the end of the day, the eye test still kind of reigns supreme in the NHL. And even if you're a guy like Zach Jones and you have the puck on your stick more and you make more successful you generate more offense off of your stick, off on the rush, in the neutral zone, on breakout passes, and in the offensive zone. But in your own end, you know, the powers that be watching see you get shrugged off in a puck battle once or twice, or, you know, maybe unable to tie up a guy in front, then on a deflection or something, then that's it, lights out. But if you're a Nemeth or a Tenorti, or hell, even Braden Schneider, and they see, you know, you're not generating as much offense, you're not leading the transition as much, so you're spending more time in your own end, and they see you, you know, maybe snuff out a couple of fires with your size and your physicality and rub guys out and maybe let other guys set picks and hold guys on the wall so other players can take the puck and then advance up the ice, and then you still go up a goal. Well, the result was the same. You probably didn't generate as much offense, but you were, because of your size, you maybe were able to, the result ended up being the same, except you didn't generate as much offense. But in the eyes of the people watching, you looked like you acquitted yourself better, even though the raw data would say, no, they didn't generate as much offense, and there were more of the play was in their own end, but they just looked more up to the task because of their size. You know what I mean? It's like the whole thing. It's like, well, they throw a lot of hits. It's like, yeah, because they don't have the puck. It's that type of thing. So, you know, but again, that's not to say, because I think Schneider has a pretty good first pass, and I think he can really do well here. And I think, again, I do think it seems that the Rangers so far this season have done a pretty good job with the youngsters. They, you know, Kako and Lafreniere, despite maybe not lighting the world on fire, seem pretty happy with their playing time and what they're doing and don't seem dissuaded. And Keandre Miller's clearly taken a step. Yes, he still has his gaffes. He's had two pretty bad ones in their last two losses, but he still is looking confident. And, you know, young players are allowed to make mistakes. That's what they're young players. We have plenty of vets that make mistakes, so why can't young players make mistakes, you know? So So yeah, I'm happy that Braden's getting a shot here and an audition, and yeah, hopefully San Jose are a good team, but they're not exactly world beaters, so it's probably a good venue for them to try him out in. You know, obviously the biggest challenge for them was hopefully that at this point their biological clocks have adjusted to West Coast time, because the game starts pretty late, so hopefully they have some energy and they don't look as listless like they did versus LA.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or thehockeypodcastnetwork.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.